Welcome to the Portland Christian Center Podcast. This is the audio version of our live Sunday morning gathering. To view our live Sunday morning gathering, go to pcctoday.com.
Amen. Jesus is Lord. Isn't that good? Happy Father's Day again to everyone. And before we get too far going through, I'm just so excited to be here. Love you all. Thank you for being here. If I could have all the dads, fathers, would you stand with me real quick? Fathers, would you stand? Stand dads. There we go. Let's clap for them. And yes. Now, yeah. Stay standing just for a second. I want us to pray for the dads. So ladies, if your husband's around, let's pray for them or go to around, but you can stand up now. Family, get around the dads. I want no dad alone, okay? So get up, everybody. Look around. This is your chance to kind of move. I want to pray for all of the dads, grandpas, grandmas. Go ahead and stand up. Let's get a hand on our shoulder. All right. Oh, guess what? Thank you, guys. All right. Get a hand up there. All right. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for all the dads. I bless them in the name of Jesus. Thank you for every dad. Lord, I rebuke right now the enemy's plan to discourage dads, to make dads feel like they're not good enough, they don't know what they're doing. Even though they may feel like that, that is not the truth, because in Christ, we are more than conquerors through him. And I pray for redemption today, I pray for healing today, I pray for freedom today, and I pray that because we have a perfect Heavenly Father, that all of us as men could grow to become who you called us to be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Let's give it up for the dads. If I could have our Bible readers today are going to come on up. Rohit and Sharon, would you welcome them with us? They're amazing people. In case maybe you haven't been tracking or you're newer with us, this new series we're doing in Romans, we're in Romans chapter 5, by the way. Come on. Oh, you guys took the road less traveled. That's all right. Come on up. Pastor Paul, would you hand me that microphone, please? Come on up. Welcome. Would you welcome one more time, Rohit? Come on. Good. Sharon, you guys are amazing. All right, you got a microphone right here. So we're asking different couples to read the Bible. They're going to take turns, so you can use this if you want. Come on up. Come on up. And also, we've been asking everyone that's able to, sorry, I just told you to sit. I'm so sorry. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? If you're able, if you're not, you can stay seated. No condemnation at all. But if you're able to, go ahead and stand. And we're going to read Romans chapter 5 together. And we'll listen to you guys as you read.
Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us.
You see, as just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification.
For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through the one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of the righteous reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass results in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act results in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But when sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigns in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Well done. Thank you so much, you guys. Awesome. Great job, Sharon. Appreciate you. So good. Thank you. You can put the mic over there. You can go ahead and have a seat. And that is the word of God. I'm going to pray for us. Go ahead and sit down. That's great. Lord, I bless every person. I bless your word. I pray that it would go forth in power. May you touch our hearts and lives. Holy Spirit, we take a moment and we pause and we ask that the word that was just read aloud, your word says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to respond to your word this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, welcome again to Portland Christian Center. My name's Nate, and if you're online with us, we're so glad that you're here. Before I get too much further, I want to honor my dad. His name is Wes Linseth, and I have a picture for you to enjoy of us. That is my dad in the way back, my brother. My brother has actually three boys now. Zane was not born yet, but that is Zeke and Luke and Tate and Titus, and that is us dominating Froyo. Anybody else love some Froyo in the name of the Lord? It's all good. One of the things about my dad that I just absolutely love is he loves to laugh. We love to have a good time, love to have joy, and one of the things that he loves to do is tell stories. And my boys, we have grown up around him telling stories, and I grew up hearing a lot of these same stories over and over, and they kind of became legendary. They're called Wes and Bob stories. And Shea Linseth, who's been here, she's a missionary now, but she was on staff here at Portland Christian Center. Her dad is Bob. They were brothers. And so Bob and Wes stories are legendary in our house, and they're always up for a good laugh. Does anybody else have family members that have these repetitive stories like this? Raise your hand if you got some stories in your house. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to open up with one of that today. Is that okay with you? All right. So my grandpa, his name was Oscar, and he's in heaven now. He was a pastor for many years. Oscar and Marion were their names. Great names. And they would always go on vacation with their family, which was my Uncle Bob. Aunt Marilyn was in the middle. The poor lady was stuck in the middle between two boys. And my dad was the youngest. And they were going on a vacation to Eastern Washington. And for some reason, the tire went flat. And so they pulled over on the freeway. And Grandpa gets out. And he goes to change the tire. And he's bent down, and he's underneath the car, getting in the hood of the trunk, getting the car out, and he puts some stuff over here, and just as he puts the tire off to the side, he looks over at my dad in the car, and he holds up a firecracker, and he says, "Wes, watch this." So he sneaks out, and as my poor grandpa is in the trunk of the car trying to get the I believe the tool that, I forget what it's called, that you would,
No? Tire iron, thank you. That's what I was looking for. Welcome to Father's Day. I knew there was an answer somewhere. As he was going to get the tire iron, my Uncle Bob sneaks around and lights a firecracker and drops it right between his legs. So this fire it goes kaboom, and it scares my grandpa so bad he jumps up and hits his head on the trunk of the car. He thinks he's getting a car accident, and he's so shook up and he's so upset, he turns around and my uncle is sprinting down the freeway. Then my grandpa takes off and chases him down the freeway. So imagine these future pastors and pastors running down the freeway because they set off a firework to their legs. And I remember hearing these stories and just laughing and having so much fun and wanting to tell that over and over again. And one of the things I think we can remember that would help us this Father's Day, Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Fathers, I want to encourage you, grandfathers, tell great stories. Have fun. Laugh. To this day, when my boys and I are on our way to school, my dad will call us and he'll say things like, "Hickam OC, who stole my TV?" I have no idea what that means. But the boys laugh. "Good morning, America. How are the boys?" No idea what that means either. But we're laughing. We're having fun. There is something wonderful about joy and laughter. And I believe, dads, one of the things that we can do is bring that in the house. In fact, doctors have realized, and I'm sure you've seen studies, that laughter can boost your immune system. Laughter can relieve stress. In fact, they have done studies and they put America's Funniest Home Videos on in hospital rooms, and people have actually gotten better faster than those that weren't watching it. Laughter is medicine. Science is actually catching up to what God already says. But there's more. There was a doctor from the University of California. His name's Lee Burke. And he says that there's not just laughter that actually helps people, but it's this. Burke now says that the mere anticipation of laughing can help. They studied men, and they measured their stress signs and told them that in about 3 days, they would be watching hilarious videos. In each man's spirits lifted before viewing the video. It says this, 2 days before the video, depression was down 51%, confusion 36%, anger 19%, fatigue 15%, and tension 9%. Right after the viewing, depression and anger were both down 98%, fatigue 80%, 87%, confusion 75%, and tension 61%. He called it the biology of hope. Today, I want to tell you that we serve a God who offers you more than just biology of hope. He's a God that offers you hope through Jesus Christ. Hope through Jesus Christ. He's such a good dad. He wants you to laugh. He wants you to enjoy your life. I don't know what part of the gospel so many Christians have missed that they thought Christianity was supposed to be this. Yeah, it's all right. It's just okay. Am I right? And I know people are like, "Oh, you're just young and enthusiastic." Yeah, maybe. But I wish you could have met my grandpa. He laughed so hard and so loud all the time. Joy was like a secret weapon. And today my prayer is for every single person that you would receive the grace, power, and presence of the Holy Spirit, that revival would spill out into joy and to laughter. Why? Because we have something to celebrate. And you might be here thinking, "Well, what do I have to celebrate?" Don't worry. Romans 5 gives us a great reason to celebrate. Romans 5, You see, we've been talking about this word justification. It means that we are made right with God. Aren't you thankful for what Jesus has done? That he's made... Oh, yeah, we should clap for that. Aren't you thankful for God? You see, one of the things I think we fail to realize is that you actually have three enemies or three things working against you the Bible talks about. Did you know that you have the sinful nature, your flesh working against you? The world, and that the enemy actually has a plan to kill, steal, and destroy you. But you know what? And sometimes we hear that and we're like, oh, there's so many enemies. I want to remind you, Psalms 37:13 says this, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. Your heavenly Father is in heaven laughing. If we forget, God has a sense of humor. I mean, think about Jesus' first miracle. Hey, guys, water's going to be wine. I mean, Jesus, I guarantee you, had so much fun and laughter going around. And yet, as Christians, have we forgot that Jesus said, that the word says that we would have the joy of our salvation? The excitement, the fun, the laughter. And don't worry, I can tell some of us are working on this. We'll warm it up. We can massage our cheeks and start laughing more, I promise. And it's, oh, I want to give you permission. It's okay to laugh in church. It's okay to smile. Because if you've been set free, if you've been saved, if you've been with Jesus long enough, you have a reason to celebrate. You have a reason to have hope. You have a reason. You see, when you come to church, you should be celebrating all the great things that God did this week. That's why we're lifting our hands and we're praising him. When we're singing, how great thou art, you have a reason to lift your hands. Some of us here need to be reminded of how great God is. You were broke before you found him, and you were a mess, and God saved you and turned your life around, your finances, your family, your freedom, your brokenness. And some of us are like, man, I want that. I'm here to testify to you that because of your heavenly Father, we have hope. And I want to say it to you this way. The big idea this morning, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down, is our Heavenly Father is more than a reason for hope. He is the reason for hope. Our Heavenly Father is more than a reason. He is the reason. And as we just read in Romans 5, we were a mess. We were broken. We were lost. We were down. In fact, it says that you were brought from death to life. I don't know about you, but if I've seen someone being brought death to life, there should be joy. There should be celebration. Have you ever been around somebody, maybe even yourself, where you've been in the hospital and you've been sick for a long time, and there's a point where you're not sure if you're going to make it, or maybe your family members are? I was just talking to someone today. They weren't sure if their son was going to make it. Today, they're going to have lunch with him. The joy on their face is pretty cool. They're pretty excited. And I just think the enemy, you know what he wants you to do is get discouraged and focus more on your problems than on your Father. He wants you to focus on more of what you don't have than what he's already done in your life. They want you to, the enemy wants you to think of all the things that would rob your joy. Why? Because when we are full of the joy of the Lord, it's your strength. It's really hard to evangelize and share the gospel if you've lost your joy. Today, I'm believing and praying that we're going to get our joy back this morning. For our fathers, grandfathers, wives, kids, I believe we should be the most joyful people in the world. Why? Because we've been saved and redeemed and transformed by the glorious power and grace of our God. But I want to first start with the problem, because when you understand how grave the problem is, it actually fuels you with joy to see what God's actually done. In verse 12, in Romans 5, verse 12, here's what it says. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Sin came through
one man, then that sin led to what? Death. And then that death, you know what it did? It spread through everyone because of what Adam did thousands and thousands of years ago. And if you're like me, sometimes you read that and you think, is that really fair? Is that fair? When I played basketball, one of the things our coaches love to do is make us run. I don't know why. Well, they want you to be in good condition, but some of them, I think, really enjoyed watching you run because I don't know why. Some of our coaches would be drinking a Mountain Dew or Gatorade, like, keep running, keep running. But they had this thing at the very end of practice where one of the guys would be selected to shoot a free throw, and if you made it, just one shot, we were done running, and we got to go home. If you missed it, we had to keep running. And our coach would always choose the guys who couldn't shoot. And I can remember running lines and being so angry at the person who missed the shot. And I remember getting done, I'd be like, Coach, pick me, pick me. I know I can make it. And he'd pick somebody else. And he'd pick somebody else. Until finally someone would make a free throw and we'd be done and we're just sweating and tired. And I remember thinking, why am I penalized for what someone else did? And you can get this lifestyle where we're like, man, I want to blame other people for the condition that I'm in. Because what happens in life, if you're like me, things will happen that's not fair. Anybody else here? Come on now. There are things, there are maybe even cars that you're driving that you did not buy. You inherited it. There is food that you're eating that you would never choose. Somebody else picked that out for me. It's supposed to help me. And what ends up happening is we live our lives in such a way where we blame and we blame and we blame and we blame. And if you are stuck in a cycle right now where you're just like, man, what if that wouldn't have happened? Why would God do something like that to me? Why is this so broken? Why is there so much pain? The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. And when we hear that, sometimes we think rain, is that good or bad? It could actually be going both ways, because if you're in a desert season, you want rain. And so what we have to come to this realization is that God never said life would be fair and easy and that it would just be smooth. You know what he actually said? In this life, you will have trials and tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. And when we read Romans 5, you know what he says is that all that struggle, all that strain, all the things that you're going through right now are actually for a purpose to make you stronger, to fill you with hope, to make you more like Christ. And what happens is when you have this stark reality of sin and death that spread through all the world through one man, what ends up happening is it can cause you, if you let it, to blame. You see, Adam, in Genesis 2:15, the Bible says that the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Pastor Mael and I were talking about this, and she actually wrote a paper in college on this subject. And she reminded me about this word, shamar. It means to exercise great care, take care, guard, or watch over the garden. And here's what it's saying. That God took Adam, and he made him, and he said, it is not good for you to be alone, man. You're struggling. You're probably spinning in circles, staring at the grass. So he says, you need a woman in your life. Ladies, can I get a witness? Yeah. So he brings a woman, and I love to joke that, you know, Adam was so awestruck by her beauty that all he could get out was, whoa, man. And so they're there in the garden, and we know this story. You've probably heard this before.
But the serpent comes and tempts Eve. And Eve takes a bite of the apple. And what most people fail to realize is Adam standing right next to her. Right there. And it's so funny because I can already see some different people elbowing each other. See, see, see. It's so easy to start blaming. And men, what we have to realize, that word shamar is meant that he's supposed to be the priest. He's supposed to be guarding. He's supposed to be protecting. He's supposed to be keeping evil out. Men, one of our responsibilities and privileges is to be strong, to be courageous, and to push back the darkness in your homes. I want to challenge you, men, relook at your house. You may say, well, I've got locks on my doors. Have you password protected all of the internet things in your house? Have you got filters on your own phone? Is your computer open for anybody to get on? Because one of the things people have to realize is that your technology, if not managed properly, is a gateway for the enemy into your house. Not just computers, television. Oftentimes, my boys will ask me, can we watch this? Can we watch this? We don't let them watch YouTube even unless we're in there. Why? Because we have to guard. We have to protect. And here's what we have to realize. Men, if we don't rise up and be who God's called us to be, did you not see the progression of sin? It goes from sin to death, and it spreads throughout the house. And I'm not saying this to judge men or to go throwing like condemnation. This is not supposed to be like, Pastor Nate, you said we're going to have joy when we left today. Absolutely, we're going to have joy. But if we don't see the problem, how can we get to the relief and the healing and the freedom? Because that's where the joy is. And as men, one of the things that needs to happen is this righteous strength that comes up that says, Shamar. Would you say that with me, men? One, two, three. Shamar. Maybe you need to write that down. Shamar. I am called to be strong, to protect, to love my family by pushing the gates of hell out of my house. I want you to relook at your house this morning. When you go home, you may need to redo some things. Are there computers in bedrooms where the enemy can just get in and there's no accountability, no filter? If you're like, man, Pastor, I need some resources, we would love to give you resources. I'll give you one right now, really quick. Covenant Eyes. You can Google that on your own. I have that on all of our devices. Why? Because I'm here to protect my family. But more than that, one of the things that we talk about all the time with our boys, guard your eyes to guard your heart. Guard your eyes to guard your heart. What am I looking at? If I'm going through the mall, there's stores that I have no business not only being in, but looking at. And everyone knows what I'm talking about. I almost ran into a kiosk the other day because I was keeping my head down. One time my dad, I love this. This is such a picture of what really godly men should be. We were vacationing in Hawaii. We were middle schoolers. I was eighth grade, and Nick was in sixth grade. And we're all on the beach, and we're having a great time just minding our own business. And there walks a girl right across with almost nothing on. And our heads were shoved in the sand so fast, I almost choked. Why? Protection. Protection. Now, I want you to hear this. This is so important. In no way, I want you to hear this. In no way am I saying that sex is not good. God made sex for a reason. It's between a husband and wife to be enjoyed and to love each other. It's to be a pleasurable thing. But the enemy has distorted it into thinking that you can have it any way, anywhere you want. And so as a church, we have to reclaim the truth about sex. It's good in the context of marriage. It's between man and wife. There should be a lot more amens. Sorry. See, we gotta laugh. There should be a lot more amens. There we go.
But when we live in a broken and fallen world, what can end up happening is you throw the good things out with the bad. And so you end up in this shame culture, this guilt culture, where people feel like, man, I don't even know what love and all those things really should look like. And I am here today to tell you, on Father's Day, the best thing that we can do, and this is the first step to reclaiming the hope in your life, is to quit the blame game. Would you say that with me? Quit the blame game. One, two, three. Quit the blame game. If you're living in the blame game, I have come to tell you today that God is here to set you free. We are not here to blame anybody. We're actually here to be set free. Psychologists talk about something called self-serving bias, which that means is this, that many of us will take the credit for ourselves if things go good in life, but lay blame on circumstances when things go bad. But we don't do that with other people. For example, if you're late for work, oh, it was the traffic. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. Well, I had to pass one person. But if somebody else is late, oh, character issues. They're always late. I've never seen them on time once this week. Or you hear it like this, man, you got anger problems. Oh, yeah. My dad was an angry guy. My grandpa, you should have seen him yell at the lady at Wendy's every Wednesday. That's where I learned it. At what point do we say, oh, okay, I may have seen that modeled. That may have been the culture, but I get to choose what culture I establish in my house. Am I right? And so one of the things we have to turn in our minds as we move from victims to victorious warriors in Christ, it is not just what's done to you that counts, but the grace and power of Christ to make all things new in your life. That's what Paul's saying in Romans. All the death that Adam brought into the world through sin and darkness, Jesus Christ came to bring you new life, new hope, new freedom, new joy, laughter in the house. But blaming people won't help you. And I want to just, if I could, put a little sense of urgency in this, because as I'm talking, some people are like, oh, that's a good idea, Pastor Nate. Yeah, good idea. Yeah, amen. What are we doing in an hour? And the reason I want to put a sense of urgency in you is because the time is short. I was just talking to one of our members and faith builders, and he was talking to me about some things, prophetic words. The time is coming when Jesus is going to return. And every week almost, he reminds me, tell people that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. The time is short. And not only that, however long he's here, things are changing. For Father's Day, my wife made something really cool for me. And this is a book. I don't know if we can see it okay. I know, right? She won Father's Day Award. If you remember when I preached, I didn't win it, but she won. It says, Titus Tate, Daddy will always love you. And as you read through it, it's beautifully illustrated, all these different things. And I'm reading through it, I'm doing pretty good. And then, it's a picture of the little boys all grown up. Titus and Tate are grown up. And I start crying at the table.
I don't
want to
grow up.
I know. I don't want you to grow up either, Tate. I don't want you to grow up either. I don't want you to grow up either. I told you there was going to be joy. Tate's name literally means bringer of joy, in case you were wondering. The time is short. It's too short to blame people. It's too short to blame your parents. It's too short
Because if you want to restore hope, now remember what we said. Our Heavenly Father doesn't just offer some hope. He's the hope. Some of us need to forgive this morning. And you might be thinking, Pastor Nate, how can I forgive? If you only knew what he's done to me. If you only knew what she did. If you only knew the lies they told about me. I have scars because of my past. Blame, I can understand, but forgive, I don't know. I can have the worship team come up. I don't know. God, I don't know if I could forgive this person. I don't know if I could forgive my dad or my family. And I want to say to you this, no matter how good your dad was, no matter how many times your dad failed, or I'm not too naive to know this, there are some people in here, maybe your dad wasn't even around, you don't even have a dad. I want to remind you that you have a Father in heaven who will be your dad. I want to read this scripture to you. That says this. Psalm 68:5. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. Some of you in here have been holding on to bitterness, have been holding on to anger, have been holding on to the hurt. And here's what Jesus wants you to know. He's with you. And the pain that you felt, he's with you. Romans 5:3, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Come on. And here's the most important part, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Did you hear that? The power you need to forgive, the power you need to stop blaming, is in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Choose to forgive this morning. There's a woman a few years ago named Renee Zapier. She got a call that no parent would ever want to get. Her daughter had been in a terrible car accident, 20 years old. She gets to the hospital to find out that her daughter had died. Even worse, the person who was driving that hit her daughter was a drunk driver. And he didn't have a scratch on him. When the trial came, she had so much hatred in her heart, she couldn't go. She wanted this person who took her daughter's life. She said, dead. But as she began to pray, the Lord started speaking to her and said, you need to forgive this man. She said, God, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can. Anybody ever been there with God? When he asks us to do things that seem impossible, so, she says, okay, God, I'll forgive him. And God says to her, no, I want you to go to the court, and I want you to forgive him. So she shows up to the courts that day. Man's in an orange jumpsuit. His name's Eric. And she stands up in the courtroom to give a testimony. And she says, I'm still angry, but because of my God, I forgive him. And as he was getting out, she walked over and gave this man a hug, and they wept together. Over the next few years, he had a prison sentence that was going to be most of his life. She actually went and pleaded with the courts to let this man out early. She led him to Christ. Isn't that amazing? Now, Renee and this man, Eric, travel all over the United States together. And they talk to students about drinking and driving. And they show the car and they tell the story and they talk about the forgiveness of God. And this just happened to be a story that a man named Matthew West heard. He's an artist and he wrote a song called Forgiveness that went massive all over. And people ask, where did that story come from? Where did that song come from? Because a woman chose to forgive. And I believe that there are relationships that are going to be healed today. I believe there's going to be joy restored in your house today. When you leave Father's Day this morning, I want you to know that if you're here and you've been struggling with pain and shame, that forgiveness will be medicine to your soul. I want to read you this quote that says this: to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. I want to say that again. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. This Father's Day, who do you need to forgive? Your dad? Your mom? Your spouse? A friend? A church member? A pastor? How about yourself? Some of us are paying for the sins that Jesus already paid for. He already washed you white as snow. Life is just simply too short not to forgive. And my prayer is this morning that there would be some people here that you would choose to forgive. Would you bow your heads with me just for a moment? If you're here this morning, and as Titus prayed that there, you need revival in your heart. Revival and healing from the pain that has been done to you. Or maybe there's just blame, unforgiveness, whatever's going on in your life. I want you to know that Jesus came to set you free and give you the power with the love of the Holy Spirit to forgive. If that's you this morning and you just want prayer to forgive and you need the courage to do that, would you just slip your hand? I want to pray with you right where you're seated. If you need the courage to forgive somebody today, would you raise your hand? Lots of hands going up everywhere. You need the courage to forgive somebody. Could be a friend, could be a pastor, a spouse, a brother, someone in your life. You just know I've got to forgive them. Now, you need the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for lifting your hands. That's so good. You can put them down. So Father, you saw every hand that was raised. I pray right now by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would help every person, Lord Jesus, to forgive, to let it go, to stop harboring unforgiveness, the bitterness, the shame, because we were never meant to carry that, because although sin came through Adam, life came through Jesus. We receive your grace today, Jesus. We receive your power, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me? I want to say one thing really quickly. I always need to give this caveat because we need to hear this. As followers of Jesus, we are called to forgive others, even our parents, freely without limit. But remember, this is so important. Forgiveness does not excuse sin. That's Jesus' job. On the contrary, forgiving means releasing any bitterness you harbor towards them by confessing it to Jesus. Why am I saying that? If you're in a relationship or a situation where abuse or harm is coming to you, you need to be in a safe place. Let me just say that right off the bat. Just because I forgive you doesn't mean that you have access to hurt me still, if that's what's gonna happen in your life. Because oftentimes in church, people just like, oh, I should just forgive and let him back in. No. Shamar, guard, protect, preserve, be safe, steward. That's what men are called to do. And mankind, ladies as well. The last thing I want to say before we worship is this, is we always give people a chance to receive Christ. Always, for the first time. And if you would like to make Jesus your Lord and Savior and follow him all the days of your life, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you right where you are. Anybody here that needs to receive Jesus as your personal Savior? Awesome, I see that hand. That's awesome, praise God. Waving that hand right over there. It's so good, I can't really see your eyes, but that's awesome. You see me? Yeah, I see you, waving. Come on. Anybody else want to receive Jesus as your Savior? Yeah. I wonder. Sorry, I just feel the Holy Spirit saying that. God's got something for you, ma'am. God's got something. Would you mind? I know this might sound crazy. We've never done this before. I believe God has something for you today. Would you meet us right over here? You can come out right now. Would you clap for her? Come on. Come on down. Come on down. If I could have some of the ladies come around here over here, Pastor Paul. Ladies, Pastor Paul. Oh, come on. Come on. There we go. Yeah. Allie, would you go down there as well? We have to work on this. What does the Bible say? When one person gets saved, what does heaven do? I wonder if it looks like this. I think it's more like, yeah! Can we try that again? Let's go! Yeah! Praise God! Some are like, I haven't jumped in years. Well, today's your day. Today's your day. Hey, let's give the Lord the praise real quick. Would you just lift your hands with me? This is not about a man. This is about the man, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus. This is about our Heavenly Father, your perfect Heavenly Father. He loves you. He's with you. And as we get ready to sing, will I pray right now that as we sing these songs, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would flood our hearts with your grace, with your love for those that have choosing to forgive some people today. I pray, Holy Spirit, touch their hearts. Fill them with your presence, I pray. We love you. We love you. Would you say it with me? Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. It's all for you, Jesus. Come on, let's sing this out together.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com or join us online for our live stream at 10:30 at live.pcctoday.com.